Last week we noticed the first gospel sermon that Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. It proclaimed the death, burial, and resurrection, as well as the exaltation of Jesus Christ. We saw that in verses 22 through 35. That sermon also called for a response of faith, repentance, and baptism for the remission of sins, verses 36 through 41. Today we want to look at the second gospel sermon that we have recorded that Peter had preached. It's found in the very next chapter of the book of Acts, chapter 3. And it takes place at a place at the temple called Solomon's Porch. I want to begin by reviewing the circumstances that lead up to this opportunity that Peter had to preach. We notice that Peter and John had gone to the temple. In chapter 2 and verse 46, Christians had been gathering daily in the temple to pray. And Peter and John arrived at the hour of prayer, about the ninth hour, about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, according to chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man there who was lame from birth, and he is going to be healed. The text tells us in verses 2 through 3 that he was laid daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful. That might have been the Nicanor Gate made of the Corinthian bronze. It might have been the east entrance to the court of the women. But either way, he was laid there to ask for alms, money, financial assistance from the people that would be entering the temple. And when Peter and John came by, he asked for two alms. Peter healed him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In chapter 3 of Acts, beginning in verse 4, we read, "And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." This lame man had been laid there expecting money. But Peter gave him something better than silver and gold. Peter took him by the hand and lifted him up. His feet and ankles received the strength they needed, and a miracle was immediate and it was complete. We see in the next few verses that a crowd had gathered and is drawn by the scene of this man who they knew to be lame, now walking and praising God. In verse 9, we read, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Who was walking, praising God? The people were amazed, wondering, because they knew he had been lame from birth. And they gathered at the porch called Solomon. In chapter 3, in verse 11, we read, "Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed." This area would have been along the eastern wall of the temple, according to most commentaries, with double columns 38 feet tall, spanning 49 feet, supporting cedar ceilings, according to most commentaries. You note the similarity to the events in Acts chapter 2. A miraculous event had occurred, and it attracted the attention of the people. And just as before, Peter used this opportunity to preach the gospel. So now let's look at his sermon. Peter proclaimed that Jesus is the one who performed the miracle. He said the miracle was not by the power or godliness of Peter and John. In fact, in verse 12, he said, we read that, "So when Peter saw it," the crowd gathering, "he responded to the people. And he said, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? He said it was through faith in God's servant, Jesus. We pick that up in verse 13. He says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you now see. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. This is the God of their fathers that they are glorifying. That's what Peter says here. He says that this is the same one who had been delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate. They denied Christ, asking for a murderer to be released in his stead. Peter says, you killed him, but God raised him from the dead and was seen by eyewitnesses. And Peter describes Jesus as the Holy One, the just, the Prince of Life. And he said it's through faith in his name that the lame man was healed in verse 16. We need to note well that it was Peter and John's faith in Jesus and not the lame man's faith. Nothing is said about his faith. Because the lame man did not go there expecting a miracle. He went there expecting money. We saw that in verses 4 through 7. So we see here in this sermon that Jesus is proclaimed and a miracle is explained. Now we see that Peter commands repentance. Repentance was commanded as ignorance is acknowledged. Peter acknowledged that they and their rulers had acted out of ignorance. He says in verse 17, yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. And he says that what had occurred was foretold of by God. He said the same thing, in Acts 2 in verse 23, when he talked about what the prophet Joel had said. But here in verse 18, he says, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. But we understand here from this sermon that ignorance is not an excuse. They still had to repent and be converted or be baptized. In verse 19, Peter says, therefore repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, washed away, erased, forgiven, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance is to change their mind. Their minds regarding Jesus and their sinful ways, and to be converted, to turn back to God, which at this place implied baptism, just like in Acts 2 and verse 38 and 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. And he gave them reasons to repent and turn back to God. We see that in verses 19 through 26. He says, repent therefore and be converted. Listen now, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said about the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, all the prophets, from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities or your sins. Peter pointed out here that they needed to repent in order to have their sins blotted out or remitted. It's the same statement he made in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It's the same thing that Paul says Ananias said to him in Acts 22 and verse 16. And notice he said that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, possibly referring to the gift of the Holy Spirit, like in Acts 2 and verse 38, other passages as well. But he says that God may send Jesus Christ, a reference to his second coming, because Christ had already come at this point. That's what Peter speaks of in 2 Peter 3 and verse 12. And that he was preached to them before, in times past, through the prophets. And yet they rejected the prophets. And he says that heaven must receive Christ until the times of restoration of all things. The times of which the prophets had spoken have been fulfilled. And notice the dreadful statement, lest they be utterly destroyed. Because Moses spoke of this prophet Jesus in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. And those who will not listen to him, God will require of them. God requires of them that they listen to Jesus. Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 through 19. They were the sons of the prophets and of the covenant of God that he made with their fathers, a covenant made with Abraham to bless the world in his seed. That goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. It was a promise that was fulfilled by God through sending his servant son, whom he raised. He was sent by God to bless the children of Israel. He was to bless them by turning them away from their sins. Now the response to this second gospel proved to be twofold. There was a negative response by the religious leaders. We see that in the next chapter, in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But notice, there was also a positive response by many who heard. In chapter 4 and verse 4, however, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Again, we see the gospel preached involving preaching the death, burial, and resurrection and lordship of Jesus Christ, calling on the people to respond with repentance, with faith and baptism implied here, and offering them the remission of their sins and the refreshing gift of the Holy Spirit. We also learn that it included proclaiming the character of Jesus. Peter described him as a servant, as holy, just, Prince of Life, Christ, and a prophet. And the return of Jesus is talked about, his second coming. Here's two great sermons that we've had recorded for us. Have you responded to the gospel preaching? It's interesting, in the moment that we have left, I get comments from people that are not, how shall I say this, of the same faith that I am, and yet you talk about the truth that is being preached here, and I can't help but wonder, if you believe that, why do you still follow the doctrine that you follow and not the following the truth of God's word? Obey the gospel in faithful obedience. Don't harden your heart like Pharaoh in the book of Exodus by refusing to change and do what's simply the truth. It may be that you disagree with this lesson. And if you do, I would be glad to sit down and discuss with you, but bring your Bible and be willing to show me book, chapter, and verse where I'm wrong. Again, I want to thank you for being with me, and I look forward to seeing you again next Lord's Day morning.